welcome to this episode. This one was a very good one. It's a great one. We're going to be learning from a person who I've had the pleasure of being able to work with, but also learn from, and learning each other for April, so about 4 or 5 months. And it's a person to wear a great resource of knowledge, but then also she's a very down-to-earth person. She likes to have fun. She'll talk about life, but she's also very straightforward and straight-to-the-point person, which is really good. So, Dr. Malini, can you introduce yourself briefly, who you are and what you do?
Yeah, so my name is Monica Molini, and I'm a dentist here in Aden. And I'm so glad that Emmanuel and I met through a common friend. We didn't even know, and he connected us, and I'm so pleased to know him. And we've enjoyed our visits together, and we started this partnership sort of like, maybe we're the right fit for our, not our practices, but our business to connect. And we found out, that our stories are very similar, and we have backgrounds that help us bond in a way that is very special.
Awesome. Thank you. And just like the way you say backgrounds, I know you've mentioned to me where you were born in Venezuela. Would you just kind of like explain to people, how was that when you were growing up, and then where you went to after?
Sure. So I was born in Venezuela, and I was the youngest of 4 kids. And mm-hmm. Venezuela is really pretty, and we've traveled a lot. And then after I finished high school, when I was 19, I was able to move to Puerto Rico. Mm-hmm. So I went there, and I did my bachelor's degree with a major in chemistry. And then right after that, I was able to get into dental school.
Nice. So I'm asking this question real quick about chemistry and in school. I'm guessing with what you've graduated, were you always like, what was your favorite thing about school when you were there?
I had to get 100. That was my favorite thing. I always like a test. If there's no test, there's no excitement. So yeah, I was a little addicted to studying and getting it right.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Yeah, that was my favorite part. It doesn't sound normal, but I guess we all like a bit different thing.
Exactly. And after college, I know you mentioned to me you didn't go straight into dentistry. Like there were some different detours and like places that you went to.
I went straight at it.
Yeah. Oh, you went straight at it.
Yeah, so I finished school in June, and mm-hmm. right in August, I was in dental school.
You were in dental school. And how is it? The only person that I've truly, truly ever talked to mostly about dental school is you and like the after, because I have certain friends who want to get into dental school and people who are still it. Exactly. So how is that experience? Like if let's say I came to you and I was like, oh, I want to go to dental school. Can you just tell me more about it? How is that for you?
Sure. So when I was doing my chemistry major, chemistry is fascinating, absolutely fascinating. There's chemistry in the clothes we wear, in the glasses that we wear, in the food we eat. Mm-hmm. Everything is chemistry around us, and it's something that I still think about, even though I finished my bachelor in 2003. Mm-hmm. So it's been 17 years. But anyway, while I was there, my goal was to probably work at one of the pharmaceuticals in Puerto Rico. There were many mm-hmm. pharmaceuticals, but I had really good grades. So my friends were like, no, that's for us. Like, we don't make the grades you make. You need to be a doctor. And I never wanted to be a doctor because I saw that doctors would suture people, and that did not look fun.
Yeah.
And also I knew that you had to be on call, and all of those things made me nervous. So that was not the goal for me. Mm-hmm. I had a neighbor, and we became really good friends. And she said, girl, you should be a dentist. So I spoke with my husband about it, and he said, my dad is a dentist. So my father-in-law was a dentist. And I said, yeah, I'll talk to him. And of course he was thrilled. Mm-hmm. And from there on, I was on my second year of college when I started the process to get admitted to dental school. So it is a long process. And if that's your goal, it's going to be a long time. It's not going to, you're not going to apply and everything's going to be done. There are many, many things you have to, exams you have to take. And I've realized that they're not trying to make it difficult on you. They're trying to get you to be successful. Mm-hmm. Because if you can overcome those things, you're going to be able to be a dentist. If you're not going to jump through all those hoops and do all of that requirements, then it may not be the best thing for you. I've seen it. I've seen it with people where I went to school and they wanted to be a dentist, and they would do masters and they would do so many things, and they were never get in. And some of them finally got in and they were not successful. They would either not graduate, or if they did, they would never feel secure. It's something very complex.
So do you think and after learning how to get into dentistry, and for you, like what are some things that kept you going? Like, of course, I know you have hard days for tests or things that you have to do, but what are some things that kept you personally, you going
The first 2 years was not what I thought it would be. I thought it would be very hands-on and, open your mouth. But it wasn't like that. It was a lot of studying. So my degree is dental medicine doctor. So it's just like an MD. Mm-hmm. But we specialize in the mouth, head and neck. We're specialized in that. But in order to get this degree, you have to study pharmacology, anatomy, physiology, pathophysiology, everything just like as an MD. So it was a lot of studying, a lot of curriculum, and it was books and library, and it was a lot of reading, and it wasn't what I expected. After that second year, between second year and third year, there was this mission trip to Guatemala, and I had heard some people in other years like third years that I have been, and they said it was fun. It didn't appeal to me, but it seemed the right thing to do. So we didn't have the money, so we got a credit card and purchased the ticket, and I went, and I spent there 5 days, and that just changed my vision of life and career and everything. That's when I realized, okay, I like dentistry. Okay, I want to be a dentist, because it meant serving people. Mm-hmm. It meant helping them to heal. I mean, and that fascinates me. When somebody comes in pain and you can get them out of pain like that. Mm-hmm. That can be a little addictive as well, because you want to do good. I want to do good, but it requires planning. Right? You have to, what am I going to do for my friend? And da, da, da. This is just somebody walks in the door and boom, you can really help them. So I was able to help many, many people during those days in Guatemala. So when I came back, I was like, okay, I'm going to tackle everything I need to do, everything that comes my way, because I want to be able to do that.
Mm. Wow. I feel like that's, and we talked about it briefly about it, but that's like an experience that even though you have to pay to get there, but that just sounds amazing, especially just being able to dive like deep into that. Can you say like kind of what you did like day to day through those 5 days when you were there, or like some examples?
So we got there, I had no idea, and mm-hmm. we were to pack a little suitcase that I haven't traveled in a while, but the one you put on the top of the plane, what do you call it?
Carry-on.
So we were instructed, you do a carry-on, but because we're going to do international travel, they allow you to bring two big suitcases in the back of the plane. So, but we were not in charge of those suitcases. The mission trip organizers, they fill those suitcases that were in the back with our names on it, right? Antibiotics, anesthesia, gauze, medical supplies, everything that these people didn't have. So we were carrying the suitcases and we didn't know what it was, but when we went to the place, they had organized everything, and it was at a school, and this school did not have electricity, okay, because it was 2 hours away from the first city, and it was in a mountaintop. So we would drive there every day. We would wake up at 6, they would feed us, and we were staying in Guatemala City. And from there, we would drive those 2 hours. And I think the logistics had them made us stay there because they wanted to keep us healthy. It wouldn't make sense to bring all these people and everybody make the effort to get sick. And it's common when you travel to a foreign country.
Exactly.
So we would drive there 2 hours, and then we would work from there until the end of the day. And then we would drive back 2 hours. Mm-hmm. Eat, sleep, boom, the next day. The most beautiful thing was, the first day I'm going, and I don't know what to expect. We didn't have internet like we do today, So I just get there, and there was this long line of people, but so long. And when they saw the bus, they started clapping. I get emotional still from that. So I said, okay, this is why people want to come to mission trips.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're tired. You can't even walk. You can't even talk. You're so tired. But then you give so much good that you want to do it again right the next day.
Yeah. That is amazing. And I can also attest to that. We did, there was a mission trip that I've done at the Y where we went to DC and we were there for a week. And of course, you know, your first day, you get to see the Smithsonian and all this other stuff. But then it just switched to every single day we had tasks that we would do. So we'd wake up 6 a.m, eat breakfast from like 7 to 6. One day we were building like roofs for houses. The other day we were painting. There was one day we were like sewing stuff. And I remember one day we made dinner for all, like, I think it was like 200-300 homeless people. And the experience there was amazing because one of the people that we were talking to, guy my size, whole lot bigger muscle-wise, and he used to be the head of security for the president. Okay. And what happened, and it was validated, so it's not him actually he making it up, but it was validated to where he had money, he had houses, he had boats, he had everything, but how he became, and he's doing a whole lot better now, but he was like the speaker for everyone, and how he kind of, the fall from his where he was, because he had all, it's funny, we just talked about this a bit ago, he had all the power and the money and everybody see, but...
And the connections, probably.
Yeah, the connections, but he didn't have... He lost that touch with his family, which then drove everything apart. And so he realized after his family left, it was just, I mean, it's good that you have a lot of money, but what are you going to do when it's just you in a boat, in a gigantic house? And he just said depression kind of led everything. But that was learning from someone like that, who, if you wanted anything, it's at the snap of a finger. But it's that you explained it, experiences. Yeah.
And it makes me think how you're a lot of what your environment is. You know, if he was serving the president, he would see the senators, he would see all these important people enjoying their lives or enjoying their richness or, you know, living the good life and everybody paying attention to them and paying their respects. So maybe he wanted that because that's what he saw, that's what he craved. And when he finally achieved it, he realized that what's more important is your family.
Mm. And before we go back to you, I want to go back to something we talked about the hamster wheel, and you gave some amazing analogies to people. So can you just explain to them the hamster wheel?
Yeah, it's called the rat race, you know?
The rat race. Mm-hmm.
And I have this picture in my office, my other office, where it's a little rat. I wish I could go and bring it so you could show you, but maybe I'll
send it. You can send it, then I'll put it up here.
And it's super cute because it's this mouse and he's trying to floss, but he's all tangled up. Uh-huh. And it just points out to the point where you can win the rat race, but you're still a rat. You know, nothing will change that. So the little hamster I was talking to you about, when you're in, you see the little hamster, there's always one of them and is running and running and it's lonely. It's nobody in there with him. So sometimes we run for somebody. I want to run for my child so he has opportunities he didn't have, or I'm going to run for myself because I deserve this. But at the end, when we look around, we can be very lonely, which I think is what happened to that gentleman. And then you realize that to live, to be happy is to serve others. You know, when you give, that's when you're more happy. That's why we see people like Oprah or Hollywood people. And what do? They give out money. They save out people. They pay their houses. They give food. Because it's what fulfill us. You know, so that little hamster rat race, that's what everybody's trying to do. And sometimes you have to separate yourself and maybe turn that phone off, or maybe, you know, stay away from social media a little bit, because you can feel like you're not getting your goals when really you're taking the time for the people that are more important.
High five. Perfect. Guys, you're getting some knowledge, and I'll let you know, this is like a...
I'm getting old.
No, it's the great knowledge, because I feel like this would be... I was talking with a friend, like, imagine what's a big company, like, let's just say Nike, right? Nike. The owner has a book but he like called Shoe Dog, and it's a great phenomenal book that he talks about the journey. But imagine if he had videos where we could watch, and it's like it's him in his garage making this and the lessons. So this is a great opportunity to like, there are people who will watch this. You know, this is going to be on YouTube. It will be on podcasts. People are going to see this tomorrow, the next day, a year from now, and they're going to be, someone may think to themselves, man, I really want to be a dentist, but everybody tells me no. Everybody says I shouldn't do it. You know, stop going too high of a goal. And then they'll be able to see someone like you and some, not all, some of the awards she has in the back. Those are just some. And be able to learn like, wow, like the person is telling me exactly what to do and how they have to overcome. So you're doing a great thing.
And something else I tell people, dentistry, some people will, you know, we'll all make a good living. You haven't seen a guy on the street saying, I'm a dentist, I need money. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So we will make a good life and everything, but don't necessarily go through a medical professional, through a medical profession because you think you're going to be rich. That's mm-hmm. not realistic, and it will not fulfill your life. You will be frustrated. Yes, there are few doctors, so they'll be millionaires. But most of us, the general of us, will have a good life, but we're not rich, we're not millionaires. But is that wonderful, wonderful thing we feel daily when we're able to help somebody? It's not easy, the overhead is huge, the school loans are expensive. So don't think that this is gonna supply all of that. If maybe you want to make money and just be about the money, maybe a medical career is not the one for you because you have to deal with people and their pains and their health. And at the end of the day, we see with COVID-19, health is overall, it's more important. I can have money. Where am I going to go? I can't go anywhere. I can purchase things. So money, it's second if you think about it. Health. It's the most important. You can have all the millions in the world and you could say, do you want COVID or do you want health? People would be willing to give everything they have.
I have to like take a moment to soak it in. That's amazing. And
well, you're very kind to listen to me and let me express my deepest uh-huh. feelings and my thoughts about it.
Yeah. And the people watching this, the first day we met, I've gotten better at it, but when I was, it's still getting better. And honestly, she's been a reason that helps. Some of the times when it's, I'll talk to people, I might, if I'm saying A, B, C, D, I'll say A, B, and then I won't say C, but C will be in my head, but I'll say A, B, D. And then the person's looking at me like, what are you talking about? In my head, I'm like, what do you mean? What am I talking about? I just explained it. But then I realize I don't explain it because I've just learned with certain people and I get excited with certain topics. Like we can talk really fast. And it's amazing because Dr. Malini would go, oh, Emmanuel, oh, stop. So I'm like, okay, yeah. So yeah, it's perfect. I need it because my mom would do the same thing to me. My mom would, she would listen to me and go, I want to let you know I didn't hear anything you said because you just talked so fast. And if that's how you're talking to other people, they're not going to understand you. And so she's like, if you feel like
I would make a good mom then, right?
I'm telling you, I'm learning. That's what I'm saying. Like I'm getting all these teachings. Like the degree that I'm gonna walk out with from Aiden for the dentistry is gonna be amazing. So it's just what I learned is like if you feel like you're talking slow, then you're actually talking the correct way. But coming back, so after you've gone to Guatemala, I know you told me I believe it was New York, right? You went to New York for a bit.
So we wanted to move to New York to pursue other things. Puerto Rico is a small island and it's really saturated with dentists, physicians, everything. So in order to go and see another perspective of dentistry, we moved to New York. So we had made arrangements when I was in dental school. My husband had a business. He sold his business and we did everything to move there. When we were talking about doing this interview, I said to him, his name is Carlos, and I said, Carlos, Emmanuel wants me to tell my story and things, you know, where maybe it shows my character. And he always says I'm very generous. He says, you know, and again, it's just given. It's what makes us all happy. And he says that I'm also very brave, which it's hard for me to talk about those things because, you know, how you don't see things about yourself that other people see. Mm-hmm. So he says, you know, you're very brave when you move to New York because I flew there and we didn't have an apartment. We had had an apartment, but something happened that we lost that apartment for rent. And New York is super hard to get a place to live. So I left there, and in 2 weeks I had found an apartment, and I had, you know, connected the utilities, and, you know, and we had never lived there. And New York is, it's an overwhelming place.
Yeah.
Wonderful. I think it's an, if everybody lived in New York, I mean, if you make it New York, you can make it anywhere, right? Like, and after you live in New York, you don't take no as an answer, because you're going to find so many things. But anyway, reeling back in, that's one of the things. I think moving to New York was a hard decision and was a very brave one. And we learned so much there. We were able to see so many cultures, eat so many wonderful foods. We were able to see many landmarks that many people want to see. Mm-hmm. Don't take me wrong. We were poor, and I mean, we didn't have any money. We would walk to places because we didn't have the money for the traffic. But those memories, the little things, made so important. And, you know, we were able to do things. And I was able to get a training there that I would have not gotten anywhere else. I was able to rotate because the residency I went is in a hospital. So it wasn't a dental office. And I was able to do complete health. So I received training from anesthesiologists, and I received training from oral surgeons, and I received training from ENTs. So it really made it complete. And I was able to link, you know, for example, now with the COVID, why does diabetes affect people that have a respiratory disease? What does that anything to do with it? Or blood pressure? Why does, you know? So I was able to connect all of that. And that's what I bring to my practice every day, connecting complete health. You know, when people come through the door, I'm not just looking at a tooth. I'm looking as a person and saying, okay, how will this treatment affect your health? Will you be better? Will you be worse? And sometimes I have to refer them out. I'll have to say, you know, you need to go to a sleep medicine doctor, and I'll write that referral. You need to get some lab work. We need to see what your red blood cells look like. We need to see what number of platelets you have before we proceed on that treatment. I measure their blood pressure. Doesn't look good. You need to get a doctor to see you. So we're not focused on only pulling teeth or filling teeth or all of that. I want to make people healthier. And I have the opportunity, people see the dentist more than they may see their medical doctor. Okay. So I have this opportunity to help people be healthier. And I know the patients that I've had that go to the doctor and they improve their health. Oh my God, they are so happy with us, and they love us because they know we really care. And I mean, I can be Einstein. I can be the best, which I try. I really pursue education. I think it's so important. But people don't know, I should say, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And that's what I bring. That's that would be my brand, right? Letting people know how much I care about their whole health and how I can bring this little area to complete their body, to complete their being.
Perfect. And I've also noticed you.
And I made you fall asleep because I
know. No, you just, I like, again, I'm soaking this all in. Look, my degree right now is getting bigger and bigger. Look, my notebooks are all fold up. I'm just over here writing everything down. There's one thing that you say, and in the intro videos, and I want to ask you like what that means. You kind of explained it, but in the videos, you always say, "Hi, my name's Dr. Malini, and welcome to your dental home." So what does that like mean? You kind of explained a little bit of what you like to do. Did you learn it from somewhere else, like trying to make, when people are coming to you, to have like a home aspect? Or was that something that, you know, how did you come across that, like the what you usually like to do?
So that links with after New York. So while we were in New York, my husband and I have never been somebody that want to live in a big city. So we didn't want to live in Raleigh or Charlotte or Chicago or anything like that. We wanted to live in a small community. That's what we like. We like that family feeling. We want to say hi to the person that's crossing the street because we know where they live. We know where they work, you know? So what was the question? Oh, my home, my dental home. So when we were in New York, we found out about this community health center, non-profit organization in Elm City. Have you ever heard of Elm City, North Carolina?
Nope.
Probably a lot of people haven't. And when I found out about them, I contacted them and we formed a partnership where they have medical doctors, they have pediatricians, they have a lab workplace so people can get their blood checked for cholesterol, and which is all important for dental treatment. A lot of people don't know. They also have a pharmacy so people can get their prescriptions for blood pressure and diabetes and everything they're going to need. And then I'm able to help them. So that really interested me, how it could be a home where they could see everybody and where their overall health could be linked. Because you can have somebody with no teeth and they still need complete health. So how can we not provide that for the patient? So whenever I say welcome to your dental home, because we want to be that, we want them to feel like we're family. That's why we named it Aiden Family Dentistry. We want to see the youngins. We want to see the older of the family. And we want that. We want to know what dates are important in their life. We want to know if their son is graduating. We want to know. We just want that. Mm-hmm. We want to be part of their family and be their home if they need us.
Perfect. And I feel like that's also important because our common connection that we got was Wake Forest Smiles, Dr. Jane Quintana and Andre Quintana. And I've known them since third grade. I mean, we're like family friends that we talk and they had the same, the way you felt. I feel like that's probably also why we just clicked.
I think they're very special in that sense. And she works with her husband. Mm-hmm. And I do the same. He works here, supports everything we do here. So I think that's where we got the connection too with them.
Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing that you just said. It's like when I go there, it's not, I'm at the dentist and I have to sit down and I'm not going in. And it's like, next, it's going in. But when I go in, I talk to my dentist. I'm like, hey, how are you doing? Some of them, they work out. They used to come to work out where I would go work out the Y. Or they've seen me since third grade. Or they've seen my when I had braces. And they look, they're like, wow, I'm like, that's amazing. Like, how's mom? How's your sister? How's this? And it's, when I go there, honestly, it's just seeing my aunt, pretty much. It's like I'm going to see Auntie Jane and Uncle Andre. So, you mentioned Aiden Family Dentistry. What, you came from Elm City to, how far is Elm City from Aiden?
About an hour and a half.
Okay. So what was after, coming from New York to Elm and then coming to Aiden, what made you go to that Aiden and then?
So when we lived in Wilson, and we would take day trips and we would go to New Bern and we would go to Greenville and we would go to other places, and that's how we found out about Aiden. Aiden is a place not a lot of people have heard of. So we came here and we looked at the places. There's this barbecue place that we liked, and then we found out that one of the dentists here, Dr. Daniel Harris, he was selling his practice because he wanted to retire. So all of that worked out for us to do that transition from community health center to be able to provide the same services private instead of what they had there non-for-profit. But in order to do that, also as a female, they didn't have a female dentist in here. And I think that makes a lot of a difference in healthcare. Mm-hmm. People say that dentistry is not as scary as it used to be. And I think it's because more and more women are becoming mm-hmm. dentists. And it's a little different touch than from a male dentist. We're moms, right? We take care of people. So I think that made it important for us to move into a smaller community and be able to provide that, all that knowledge we've gathered working in a community health center, working in big hospitals in Puerto Rico and New York.
And actually, let's go more into that about with you being not only a dentist, not only you being an entrepreneur, but a female entrepreneur and a business owner. Can you kind of dive deep more into that, or like the blocks and the adversities you've had to go through, and what keeps you going that you're still doing?
Well, there are definitely blocks when you're a woman, because this is not the society that we were meant to live. Mm-hmm. Women go out, they earn more than their husbands, and that puts a pressure in the marriages for sure. Mm-hmm. Men are made to be providers, and when the woman is the provider, the breadwinner, people judge. The community is not the same. They look at you with suspicion, but they don't know how much my husband and I have worked for us to get where we are, right? So that's a block. And sometimes a successful woman can be looked at as an evil woman. Mm-hmm. We see it in the movies, mm-hmm. right? They do have to make an effort to make this successful woman look nice and sweet. Mm-hmm. So that's a big block. Another block is being a person that's not from here. Many people want to be able to be taken care of by the best, but sometimes they don't know, like, where did you come from or this or that. And gratefully, after they know us and what our mission is and where we've been and how we ended up here, they really are willing to come and see us and let us help them as mm-hmm. we do.
Perfect. Thank you. And I feel like that's going to be important, and we'll talk more towards the end, but it's, again, there's a lot of people different watching this, and they need, you know, some people don't have, like, the way I've been fortunate to have, like, access to you to not only work with you, but also learn from you, but there are people who don't, and this is a great platform to where they can be able to look at it, and if it's okay, you may have some people reach out to you, maybe you want to find out some more questions, when just kind of things that you've gone through. But I do want to talk about, you know, a good topic, and I see some of them in the background. Talk to me about your one thing that she's doing right now, and she'll talk about it, even with everything going on, she has been learning a lot every single week and not letting this time waste by, because we talked about it in the last episode of this, and we mentioned this with Dr. Malini, is that it is April 28th, so we've been in lockdown here in North Carolina since March 13th, so that's a month and 5 days. If you do not come out of this with at least one skill, one page of a book, to learn how to drink more water, to learn a new exercise, to sleep better, to learn how to make your bed. If you don't learn something from this, I don't want to say it's like you've lost, but it's like then there's nothing, then you haven't learned anything, because it's, again, I'm repeating it from last time. This isn't like you're grounded from doing everything, and friends and everybody else is still working. Everybody's grounded. Everybody's at the house. So whatever you're working,
it evens out the tearing for everybody.
Exactly. And just like she mentioned, we're not going to be the hamster, because there's only space for one person. So don't try to be that hamster kind of going through. So I just wanted, can you just explain some of the awards and some of the things that you have in the back that have allowed you to get to where you are now?
Yeah. So after dental school, you know, and it can be with everything. Like right now, last week I checked out 5 books, 3 of them about gardening, because I don't know a lot about gardening. So, but once you know a little, you're like, oh my gosh, there's so much to learn, right?
Right.
But when you go to dental school and you learn certain things, you realize there's so much to learn. So one of the things I really like is continuing my education, and I spend money on that. If people ask me, where do you spend your money? It's an education. I think one time I heard this, if you think education is expensive, you should try ignorance, And the way I do it is I try to, my philosophy is complete health. So everything I do and I educate myself with is going to be the whole thing. So it's not, I'm not going to specialize in a tooth. I'm not going to specialize in one procedure. I really want to make people healthier all over. And yeah, sure, look better about themselves. But I'm one, for example, even my husband has a little problem with a tooth here in the front. And I said to him, we can fix the problem or we can figure out what's causing the problem so you don't have this problem anymore. And that's the way I practice. Mm-hmm. So all this education that I've done and that I've gone through is to that. Where's the problem so we can fix that and prevent the same problem from happening again? Mm-hmm. Okay? And maintain what we achieve. So let's see, I have my North Carolina license, and those are some awards I earned when I was in doing my bachelor's, mm-hmm. and that's the North Carolina Dental Society. I there was a scholarship for a leadership academy in 2014, and you had to apply and you had to get a letter of recommendation, and I was I think they only chose 12 dentists, and you had to be 10 years or less in practice, and they took us, you know, that hotel Grandover by Greensboro.
No.
Huge, it's beautiful. And the president of the ADA came, and I mean, these important guys came, these big guns came, and they gave us education for 2 days for free. So that, I'm very proud of that. And then the International Dental Implant Association, I do place my implants here, and we have a CT scan, and we have a CEREC machine where we can mill everything the patient needs in order to have those replacements.
I'm sorry to explain, because even me, I've been learning a lot and working with dentists. I like to, just the way she just said, whenever she's working in industry, she likes to focus on all around. And even me, I've taken the time, I'm not even in dentistry school, but learning exactly what CEREC was, implants, crowns, what the difference is, you know, all on four, everything like that. What's the CEREC? What does that mean when you're doing implants?
Well, a CEREC machine is so before, if you needed a crown back in the day, we would prepare the tooth. Some people call it grind it, so people can understand. And we would prepare the tooth structure to have a crown made. I've always explained to my patients that a crown, I call it a helmet, because it really protects the entire tooth, right? Mm-hmm. So it's a helmet. But then that helmet always has to be custom made. We don't have them in a little drawer. If we did, Walgreens would have them, right? So that is a custom, imagine custom made jewelry that it fits you. So back in the day, you would copy that tooth with an impression, send it to a lab somewhere, not in your office, have it made, come back. Now with CEREC, what I'm able to do is take an impression digitally, and it's 3D. So it's very modern technology. And then I have a machine that mills it out of zirconia. And zirconia is a very strong material, just like a diamond. You know how people say, you know, I have a zirconia ring or zirconia stone, and we're able to create those crowns the same day. So they're very strong, and they protect that tooth. And that's what CEREC means. And it's very, you know, if you Google CEREC, it's mostly one day crown. So patients are able to take one day out of work, so they don't have to come back later like it was back in the day. Yeah, so it's pretty great.
Perfect. Sweet. Sounds good.
And they're all tooth colors, so they're beautiful too.
Perfect. There's a specific award. I think it's down in the back that you told me, two of them, the fellowship and the academy. Yeah. So can you explain that one?
A lot of sweat. And that's why I have glasses now, because I've read so much and I've attended so many classes. Yeah. In order to achieve a fellowship of the Academy of General Dentistry, you have to earn 500 hours. And if you divide that and you're working full time, and each credit is, I mean, it's expensive. So between money and time, this, to earn this, is very, that is something I'm very proud of. Only 6% of dentists have this in the United States. So it's something that a lot of people, you know, I'm not going to say they're not willing, but they just don't put in the time. Or maybe they don't, I don't know. But this is something, and it has made me such a better dentist, because you don't, it's not only about filling a tooth or pulling a tooth or doing cleanings or anything. You have to learn about all the disciplines in dentistry, orthodontics, endodontics, oral medicine, forensics, pathology. So you have to learn about so many things that you may not even practice that may, you know, but you have to know all of that. Pharmacology, I love pharmacology because it's chemistry. And you have to, they have requirements, and you have to fill those hours. You know, you can't just have 150 hours of implants but not take any orthodontics or any pharmacology. So it's very, very well balanced. And then you have to take a test. Mm-hmm. And this test has 400 questions in it about all questions of dentistry and the world. Uh-huh. So it is very demanding. I think that's why they're, you know, because even if you put the time in it, I mean, it takes time, and then now you have to know all of this, and they test you. You have to go, you know, when people take like the MCAT or a test, you have to go to a center like that.
Wow.
You have to schedule your thing. You have to pay, I think it was like $700, that test. And you have to go there, you know, it's serious. I mean, it's very serious. Yeah, it's pretty. So that I'm very proud of. Yeah, and now I'm working towards my mastership. Uh-huh. But the mastership is 1,100 hours. So it takes time. So now I'm taking advantage of that, and maybe one day instead of saying a fellow, it'll say a master.
Nice.
I don't know. I'll be like 80 when I finally get that. Yeah.
The next episode, that's what we'll be talking about.
Yeah. But I'm so glad that I'm able to, you know, to have that desire in me to continue learning. Mm-hmm. And so if you think about it, I could be in Charlotte, I could be in New York, I could be anywhere practicing, but that it's not what gives me the joy. What gives me the joy is to provide this very little community with the knowledge of a world dentist. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Because there are already many, many physicians over there. They don't need me. These people here need me.
Mm. And that's really true about finding, I'm gonna say, your market or your tribe. Like finding your tribe that really needs you, because you know it's the whole thing. Even in Kenya, because we're coming from every when you come together, that's when everybody's really strong and you're able to lift each other up. So you know, as we finish up, I guess the last two questions that I have, you did mention, you know, kind of what you've already had gone through, what you've gone through and going through. But what are some words of advice for people watching this? And some of the people watching this, they're people who work for themselves. There are people who want to work for themselves. We have people who work, I don't want to say it's not regular jobs, people work 9 to 5. These are some people who watch this are in college, in high school, middle school. So what are some words of advice that you can give to people, and not limited just to dentistry, but just in life, since you're a wealth of knowledge? Yeah.
So I think a wrong perception we all have is that if I want to succeed, I have to have my own business. Having your own business is very hard, and we could see it now. The government is helping so much because we're seeing businesses closed and closed and closed. So a perception would be you are successful if your tribe is successful. So for example, you don't have to work for yourself. You can work for somebody else, but just form a partnership and make yourself indispensable. Mm-hmm. Like unreplaceable. Mm-hmm. If you do that, you'll always be part of that. If you love your coworkers and you help them and you help your clients, you always will have a job. And again, you know, I'm not one to tell you, you know, you're going to do this and you're going to be a millionaire, you're going to do that. Most of us will not get there, but most of us will have a good life. So that's my message. During this time, figure out what's important to you. Is it time? Is it your health? Is it your family? Is it your education? Is it money? You know, once you determine that, and then that's a value. Decide how you can get that. If it's time, okay, maybe I need to work for myself so I have that time. Is it my family? Okay, so do I need to work from home so I can be with my family? So that would be my thing. And being an entrepreneur, even if you work with somebody, you don't have to work for yourself to be an entrepreneur. Does that make sense? You can be a CEO from an Apple company or somewhere, and you're still an entrepreneur, okay? And just many, many hours. Just don't sacrifice the important things in your life, like your health, your family. Yeah, because sometimes if we do that, and then we're not going to be here for long.
And that, you said it perfectly, because I feel even, as something I've gone through and getting, you know, got better at it. You see the social media, and it's a gift and a curse. Like, we have access to being able to talk to someone who is not next to me, but she's an hour away from me, or talking to someone overseas and being able to do that at a flash. Like, if you need an answer, all you have to do is just speak word to your phone and it will give it to you. And people, George Washington and Benjamin Franklin would be freaking out right now if they could be able to do that. But just
they like do you not need a horse to get anywhere.
Exactly. So, but you made a great point about, like, it doesn't matter where you are, just about the work that you put in. Cause like when I worked at the Y, the only thing I do there is the high school, middle school club they focus on. But there was a year, 2015, 2016, I finally realized, like, oh, like I was listening to a podcast. The guy was talking about, like, if you're a fraud, you know, everybody wants to, let's say maybe it's this, and everybody wants this. But wherever you are, if you're a fry cook at McDonald's, be the best fry cook that ever existed. Like, if you're making pizzas, be the best. And it's not to be the best so you can say you have the award.
Make a but change where you are.
Exactly. So like yeah. that was my focus every day that I come in is if I can just change one person's day or if make one person smile that day, then I've won. And then the next day and then the next day. So
yeah.
that's some great.
And social media, like you say, can be a curse because, you know, I may not have a bunch of followers mm-hmm. or, you know, my posts are not as cool or clever or, then that's virtual. You know, the reality is what you encounter daily. Mm-hmm. That's our reality. And we cannot get from ourselves from there because then we're not living our true or, you know, we're living, I don't want to say a lie, but it is something virtual. And when something's virtual, it's not tangible.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, just making that difference of the people that you interact with, not those people that you don't know, the thousands of people you don't know, make the difference with the few that you really know with your circle. I read this interesting book I've read a couple of books while you say that, and I can't remember the name of that book. It's called The Tipping Point. Yes,
I've heard of that book.
Yeah, and it talks about how our brain cannot have more than 150 people in our group. We just can't.
Mm-hmm.
Our brains are not, and that's why a lot of the big companies, they'll have 150, and then from there, they'll go down. They'll never have more than that. And even churches, they say after, that's the tipping point. After you go after 150, the group changes everything. So sometimes we see success as just having bigger and more and more. But again, we go back to famous people that have whatever millions and they're given away because they want to be part of a little group. They want to make a difference to a little group. So very, very good book I would recommend, The Tipping Point. And it's not a new book, but it explains, and I read it because it explains how epidemics happen. And how it talks about how, for example, a product went from being a little thing to all of a sudden being a global product. So it's very, very interesting. And it just talks about little difference the little things we do can have a big, big impact.
Mm. Perfect. Perfect.
I
so
think
perfect.
I like that book.
That's going to be on my next. Right now, I'm reading the ones that I got a gift card for my birthday. So I have The Way of the Superior Man by David Data, Slight Edge, and Predictable Revenue, and a couple more. But I think I've heard from different people mention that book over the course of time. Yeah. So that's definitely on the next list. So I guess kind of leaving off right now, you already mentioned what you're doing during this time to keep you, you're working out, you're still
yeah,
learning.
So every morning, you know, some days I don't, it's hard to keep a routine, but most of the days I wake up, I do my exercise, I read the Bible, have my breakfast, mm-hmm. and then, you know, I keep busy. There's so much stuff to do in this office, even that we're closed, and I'm trying on my time, which is most of the day, because I try not to be here a lot of the time. I think
right.
slow down. I want to spread my work.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to do it every day. So I'm reading books. I'm gardening. One of the books I got, it's called North Carolina Herbs. So it teaches you about the herbs in this state and how you can plant them and grow them and the health benefits they have. So, and I'm baking more, I think, like everybody else.
Ooh.
And and I'm just like dreaming of going to the beach again. And
mm-hmm.
yeah, that's how my days go.
Awesome.
Maybe perfect. I'm doing other things, but I can't recall in my head what else I'm doing.
It's the tipping point that you've had.
Yeah.
So what are, where can people find you? Some links, some names, et cetera. If they want to talk about you regarding dentistry, or if they just want to, you know, kind of pick your brain.
Sure. So I have our website, aidendental.com. Mm-hmm. And we also have our Instagram page for our posts. And I think that would be the easiest to contact me because I check that a couple of times a day.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been contacted by a few people that has been interesting. I got this girl that she contacted me because she wanted to interview me to tell her story during this time.
Yeah.
And it was because of a post I did. And so, yeah, and our Instagram account is Aiden.
Mm-hmm.
And _dental.
Perfect. I'll make sure it will be, I'll put everything in the comments below.
All right. Awesome. Hey, thank you so much for your time and for, you know, wanting to learn about me more and about my journey and where I've been, and hopefully, you know, it will help some people. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hope so.
Perfect. Sounds good. Thank you.